This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 234. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is Joel. You snuck that one in on me.
Well, you said you were feeling tired, like you couldn't function, so let's just get going.
Yeah. And I did say I was ready to record a podcast.
You did?
Yes.
How's your week?
Long.
Yeah?
I mean, even though, like, Monday was a day off.
Sure.
And so I only worked 4 days, but this was like this was a very social weekend for me, which I'm not used to. So I'm a little pooped. But like Friday after work, Friday evening after work, I went out to a friend's house and we had a movie night, which I'll talk about on here.
Yeah.
And then the next day, he gave me a message and he's like, hey, the three of us are heading up to Barnes & Noble because it's a rainy, wet day. You want to go with us? I was like, sure. And we ended up like going to Barnes & Noble and then eating at Red Robin, which was very nice. It was socially distanced. Red Robin is actually a nice place when like there's not a lot of people in there.
Oh,
and
nice.
They're all spread out. And then I came home from that and kind of like zoned out. And then this morning was my D&D game. Yeah. And then I'm over here with you now. So this has been a very social weekend for me.
Yeah, I was on vacation all week. And
how'd that go?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Vacation was awesome.
How's Vermont?
Vermont's fun. It's nice. It's mountainous.
Yeah.
We drove through a rain cloud coming home. Like, we're driving up this hill on...
Like, literally through the cloud?
Yeah. We're driving up this hill, and...
I like it.
It's just... It's black in front of us. Like, not foggy, not thick fog. No, it's fucking black. And I'm like, and it's not smoke, you know, from a fire. And I'm like, is that a rain cloud we're about to drive into? And sure as shit, when you drive into the fog, when you see fog at a distance, it looks foggy, you get up to it. It's still foggy, but you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Like, we drove into
okay,
it.
Eric.
Yeah.
Okay, you know
okay,
what?
Not even. But anyways.
Dude, if he's listening right now, he's going to be like, you sons of bitches. I mean, what would be the chances of him listening? But hey, go on.
So we drive into this cloud, and I swear to God, because I looked up, like, is black fog a thing? Like, I'm looking all this stuff up.
Hopefully not while you were driving.
No, when we got home.
You're like, driving along, is this a real
thing? Yeah, and I'm just, it's completely pitch black, and it's raining. Like, not like mist is hitting the window. It's fucking raining inside this cloud. And then we literally just drive out and it's a brightness. Like, as soon as we drive out of it, it's just clear. Like, it's not raining anymore. It's clear. The sun's not shining or anything, but still, it's like we drove through night. We drove through darkness.
Mm-hmm.
A dark, foggy. It was a fucking rain cloud on the top of this mountain we were driving through.
Wow.
It was fun.
Okay, because up until this point, it sounded like really sinister.
No.
And you're like, even you're looking at me scowling. It was fun.
It was fun, but it was just.
Like, it was fun.
But I almost feel stupid saying I drove through a rain cloud. Because I looked it up, and it's like, rain clouds don't usually get below 6,500 feet. Well, I was not that high up in the sky. You know, even the highest point of I-91 was north of where we were. It was only half that distance. But this was definitely. It was a rain cloud. We drove through a rain cloud. So it was fun. But no, Vermont was good. We cut into New York a little bit. Never seen hilly farm countryside New York before in my life.
I literally thought that was an actual place. I thought you were going to say we've never seen hilly farm New York.
Oh, no.
But hilly farm country. Like,
yeah, we were actually in Hoosick, New York. Went by this really cool twin screen drive-in. And essentially the way I looked at the photos of it, the aerial of it on Google, And it's kind of cool because it's set up like a football field where, like, the goalposts are your driving screens. And there's one projection house in the middle that, you know, that's how they project the movies out. And the cars just park facing whichever screen you're going to watch. So you can literally watch the other movie in your rearview mirror. You know what I mean?
Flipping the radio station back and forth.
Or if your kid wants to watch the other movie, they could flip around. Or headphones on with the radio and watch, like, one side while the other family's watching the other side.
Or I've actually thought about that, like, with the RAV.
Yeah.
You know, backing into a place and laying down the back seat so you have a place to lay down.
Oh, people do that.
Pillows.
People do that all the time.
It's a good idea.
At drive-ins. As long, at, like,
too late in the season. But.
At most of the drive-ins, as long as the hatch doesn't go above the roof line, you can do it. If it goes up higher, too high, so it's blocking someone else's view, you have to tie it down.
In the RAV, it swings out to the side.
There you go. But yeah, no, people do that all the time where they back their pickup truck in, sit in the back of their,
I'm,
you know,
totally going to do
sit
that.
In the body of the truck.
I'll be by myself, but I'm totally going to do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, anyhow, so that was kind of neat. Like at Bridgestone Twin Drive-In, the screens are offset. You can kind of see one from, like, depending on where you park at one screen, you can kind of see the other screen. And then in Bangor, the twin drive in there, the screens are set, so you can't see one screen from the other, basically. But this one was kind of neat. But no, we had fun. We went to the highest peak in Massachusetts on Mount Greylock. We drove up. It's 3,600 feet, basically. There's the Massachusetts War Memorial's up there, and there's an old ski lodge that still is in operation. And the girls in there were talking about how there's snow predicted for Friday night.
Ew.
Someone asked him, like, so, like, when are you guys closing for the season? She's like, well, Sunday's supposed to be our last day, but they're calling for snow Friday night, so, and they don't plow the road up here, so we probably won't, you know, probably be today or tomorrow. And they're, oh, no, probably be today or tomorrow. And they're like, oh, okay. And then Friday we drove home, and we drove over in the rain, we drove home in the rain. On Friday we drove home.
Doesn't sound like a great, like, bookended vacation, but
the 2 days we were there all day, it was bright, sunny, warm, beautiful weather. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I mean, it was nice.
That's almost like an evil omen thing. Like, you were in paradise and then surrounded by rain. Like you have to go through a barrier of rain to get in or out.
It really felt that way. Yeah. On the way home, we stopped at Polly's Pancake Parlor.
It's like Toontown in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
You know, that's true. Yeah.
The world's all gray and dark and dreary, yeah. And then you go in there. You stop where? Polly's Porn Palace?
Polly's Pancake Parlor.
Oh, that sounds less fun.
No, it's not. It's amazing.
Do they have porn?
No, it's they have pancakes and other breakfast foods, and then lunch foods if you're there for lunch.
I mean, I'm sure that there are places that have porn and pancakes.
Yeah, you can't discount it. Not this place.
Okay,
it's wholesome family.
Well, you were just like, no, they have pancakes. Like the two are exclusive. Like, you can't have both.
Well, I guess there was a topless donut shop down in Southern Maine for the longest time. So,
it wasn't really Southern Maine. It was
Portland. No, that was a topless coffee shop.
Oh, that's right. Coffee shop. Yes.
Yeah, that was the coffee shop.
That always worried me.
Why?
Dude, hot coffee? Like, if you spill that on yourself, it's bad enough. But if you've got, like, no clothing there?
Yeah. I don't think people went for the coffee.
Well, I'm sure.
It was like $10 a cup.
Yeah, but still, some people were getting the coffee to, like, justify it be, you know, whatever. And I'm sure that if you were walking, it's like frying bacon topless. Things you don't do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But we were supposed to come home Saturday, but we ended up coming home Friday because Kate's sister's up. And we came home Friday. And then Saturday morning, Polly's posted they had 7 inches of snow.
Diggity.
Yeah. So
you got out of there just in time.
Basically, yeah. Glad we didn't come home Saturday.
Can you imagine that? I drove home in snow for the first time of the season in mid-October. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, well, parts of northern Maine got, but like northern, the mountains of Maine, of Oxford, Franklin, and Somerset County, they all got snow. So. Anyhow, all right, that's enough of that nonsense.
So I reconnected with somebody from my past recently, and one of the things, you know, hey, what have you been doing over the past 5 years? And one of the things that I brought up was a podcast. They were asking about it, and I said, you know, well, yeah, we talk about the movies and TV shows and trailers that we watch during the week and some news and, you know, what's going on in the industry. Usually we end up sidetracking and derailing into some kind of conversation about life or weird stuff or whatever. Yeah. You know, I was like, it is not a professional podcast by any stretch of the imagination, but we have fun, and that's right. That's what we care about, because we're not getting paid for it. We're not trying to do merchandising or advertising. No. We're just enjoying ourselves.
Right.
So, and if somebody else gets enjoyment out of it, more power to them.
Right. And other people do get enjoyment out of it, but
allegedly.
So Cobra Kai.
Oh, we're going to jump right into Cobra Kai, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to say this was bad, but this was the first kind of awkward, cringy episode for me.
Yeah.
You know, where they're both trying to make the commercials and the whole county fair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Did you enjoy Johnny's problems with the computer? Did you get so pissed off at him?
And I love when the guy finally was like, dude, this isn't Geek Squad. I'm a pawn shop.
Yeah.
Somebody else. Yeah.
Did you try turning it on? Of course I did. Opens it up, pushes the power button. It's on now.
Yeah.
How do I get on this internet? I love the first thing he does on the internet. He looks
hot
up
chicks.
He looks up 1980s stuff. You know, he doesn't go right for porn. He's like, hot chicks. Wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he would have no idea that Pornhub exists or anything
right,
like that.
Right. And then he ends up watching like ads on YouTube or on YouTube videos, and he gets a Miyagi-Do karate ad. So Johnny, Aisha films a commercial for Johnny, for Cobra Kai.
Which, you know, kudos to him. Even though it was kind of cringeworthy, it was
don't be a pussy, join Cobra Kai.
Yeah. The big thing was that Daniel was offering free karate.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, he was like, karate shouldn't come with a price tag.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need the money.
Right.
And Mr. Miyagi didn't charge him.
So two guys show up at Miyagi-Do because they want to take karate lessons. And Daniel's like, yeah, that fence can need a new coat of paint. Let's get some brushes. And like, whoa. We're only learning karate. We're only learning how to paint a fence. And then they kind of, like, realistically, this is why Miyagi-Do won't work. In my opinion, because it's you can't just take some like Daniel with Mr. Miyagi was one-on-one. You know, it can make sense, but when you can't have a whole class of all the new students coming painting fences and waxing cars and sanding floors.
Yeah, the fence out front could use a new coat. And
you just did it.
Yeah, rightfully they were like, oh, you're just looking for free labor to do your chores.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right. When it's one-on-one,
right.
You know.
No, trust me, guys.
Yeah.
This will help you.
Yeah. He's got to come up with something different, kind of like he came up with something different for the balance of the two people.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see, I guess, what they do with that. You know, Miguel and Hawk confront Johnny about Robbie, and he basically tells him to mind their fucking business. And then later, him and Miguel go get a burger, and he tells him, hey, I was a shit dad.
Because who was it, Kreese? He was basically like, yeah, you're going to lose the kid.
Yeah.
LaRusso's going to pick him up if you don't.
Right. So Johnny goes have a father-son moment with him. He's like, yeah, I was a shit father to Robbie. So, yeah, he's my son. But at the same time, he wants to emphasize him being my son has nothing to do with me wanting you to, you know, like his example was, you want to fight the sickly animal or the toughest animal,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
They're going to do, like you said, Miyagi-Do is going to do a demonstration at
this
the county fair or whatever the fuck it was. But Cobra Kai instead somehow crashes the party and does their performance.
This is what really bugged me. You know, first off, Daniel's performance, I get that he's going for the tradition, but it was kind of cheesy.
Oh, like, yeah, it was terrible.
You know, it was just the three of them, and they're just like, whoa. And they're doing like katas and stuff like that. And it really didn't speak to what people were looking for.
No, it didn't.
And then in the middle of it, we get the heavy metal rock banging song. Cobra Kai comes out kind of like they did at the tournament, you know, and they march across to the other stage and just start performing, you know, with a banner that's up there. You'd think that the people would have alerted Daniel, oh, by the way, we double booked.
Right.
You know, this has been set up as well. Because he's not just like some guy. He's crucial to the whole.
He's their main sponsorship. Their LaRusso Auto was the main sponsorship.
And he was about to break some ice bricks for Renegade.
Like he did in part two.
Right.
Or something.
But part two. No, I think it was part one.
No, they did the ice in part two.
Maybe. Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, he had like a Jeep Renegade there we have to assume he was going to give it away, or, you know, yes, if you can break through these bricks, then I'll give you this Jeep. And
yeah. Cobra Kai comes out, does their demo.
Beats the crap out of each other. Breaks. Like real full contact.
Yeah, breaks some boards, and then Johnny comes out and breaks a set of bricks on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's cool. It looked cool.
Absolutely. And the music was rocking, and everyone was pumped up, and, you know, it wasn't, like, lame and laid back, and this is why I felt for them.
When
they need like an image makeover,
like in the previous episode when Johnny has his car redone and they take out the CD player or whatever and they put a tape deck in.
Yes,
and there's a callback to it in this episode when he's like, put like Metallica, you know, Search and Destroy, whatever it was, REC/DC, you know, as the background track to that. And she's like, I don't know about the rights to that. Like, what about rights? I got the tape deck in my car.
He's like, no, I own it. Yeah,
I got the tape in my car. I own it. Yeah, so that was some good stuff.
Good show. It wasn't even fully cringy, but it was the cringiest so far. I think a lot of it was just,
yeah,
I hate to say it, but Daniel's a little too lame with all this stuff.
Well, he is, and he knows it works.
Yes.
But he doesn't have a good way of selling that it works.
Right.
Because
nobody watched the movie.
Right. because his methods are slow, and his karate is about defense, and it's not flashy. He can't compete with Cobra Kai because Cobra Kai is loud and flashy and in your face and about fighting and, you know, So you're not watching Fargo, right?
I decided not to watch it this week.
Okay.
Because
have you kind of given up on it? Or
I think I have, unless you can give me a really compelling reason. I still want to know if you like it, and I still kind of want to know. But,
yeah,
you know, I was even watching the commercials today, and I'm like,
I can't give you a compelling reason.
Oh, really?
No, I can't. I mean, here's the thing. You either like it or you don't. And this is how it's been with Fargo every season. Same thing with American Horror Story.
I was just going to draw the same comparison.
It's one of those shows. You either like it or I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean.
And I'm not sure what
the storyline progressed really slow this week, but.
Oh, really?
But entertaining. It entertained me.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what it is about me that for some reason those two shows just really don't do anything for me. You know, I know there's a couple other shows like that, but these are two that are supposed to be like really big. A lot of people talk about them. A lot of people rant and rave and, oh, they're so good. And for some reason, they just don't do it for me. I almost feel like I'm broken sometimes, like or the Emperor's New Clothes kind of thing.
Sure.
You know? Anyway.
I didn't really watch a whole lot this week because we were on vacation, so I was gone basically Tuesday through Friday.
I watched so much,
unfortunately.
Not all of it was good.
Sure.
And a lot of it I can just sum up. By the way, that show Next, I'll give you this real quick.
Yeah.
The one about the artificial intelligence. Apparently it's an event. So it's meant to be like a mini series, which is nice. So they can actually wrap it up. It was okay. I give you a couple of quick rundowns here. Watched a new show on Netflix called Social Distance.
So did I.
What'd you think?
We watched 4 episodes.
Oh, I only watched the first one.
Well, Kate and I sat down. We watched the first one and got over. We watched the second. It's an anthology. Each episode's a standalone story. I liked it.
I just watched the first one with the gay couple who decided that they wanted to get a third. And then
that was definitely not the first episode.
Oh, really?
That was the third episode for me.
I'm wondering if this is one. Remember that other show that came out like that where everybody got it in a different order?
Yeah, the first episode like for me was the black recovering alcoholic who's holed up in his apartment.
Oh.
And yeah.
See, I found this episode kind of weak.
No, that was, of the four, that was the weakest. I like that one the least.
Okay. Because I watched it and I'm like, well, I'm just going to watch one of these. And
yeah.
I don't know if I'll watch any more. So the other ones were better?
Yeah, actually, I really enjoyed, I mean,
the premise, it's called Social Distance. The premise is basically that it takes place inside of a house during this pandemic and you're following whoever lives in that house.
Yeah, there's 8 episodes.
I know you can give us the official rundown.
Delete All Future Events stars Mike Colter.
You're telling me to delete all future. I'm like, what?
No, the same. It stars Luke Cage, basically. He's a recovering alcoholic, and he's kind of holed up in his place in quarantine. He's a barber, so he's out of work, and he's dealing with life. And so you're seeing it, just him in his apartment. And Steven Weber's also in it.
Oh, nice. I like
He's a sponsor.
Oh, okay.
So There's a celebration of the human life cycle, which is hilarious. Oscar Nunez is in it, and it's their father's died, and they're trying to do the virtual funeral. And like all funerals, you know how families fight and things go to shit? Now it's just virtually.
Which I think makes it even funnier.
It really does, yeah. So I did not watch that one. Did not watch that one. Oh, really good one about a nurse who has to keep working, but her kid isn't going to school and she can't afford childcare.
Ooh.
So she set up cameras in her apartment to watch her like 8-year-old kid who's home alone while she, so she can do her job. And she's watching her daughter on her phone through cameras.
So they all have like a realism aspect.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yeah. And then there's the episode, the other one with the gay couple looking for a trio.
Yeah.
That was of the four episodes we watched. That one was most definitely the weakest one for me.
It was annoying. Like it, most of it was framed like scenes would open and close or mostly open with something going wrong with their alarm system.
Yeah.
You know, the front door is ajar. Someone has opened a window. And then they were just constantly like nitpicking at each other and belittling each other. And, you know, it took this hyper, what would you say? Hyper anal asshole coming in.
Basically,
third for them to realize that they really do love each other and they just meh. And then they kick him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. So good. I'm glad that
there's some better ones. No, that was, of the four episodes we watched, that was definitely the weakest one. But yeah, that was not the first episode for me. That was,
what was that one? It was like Love and Robots?
Something like that, yeah. That was everything the third, was random. That was the third episode for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll probably check out more of that. I also watched, I don't know if maybe you watched this one, The Cabin with Bert Kreischer.
No, I saw it's on there. It's only 5 episodes. Is it good?
It's interesting.
Is it a sitcom or like stand-up?
No. It's not. It's neither. So you know who he is. He did that stand-up. He's the big, heavy guy. Well, not
he's,
big, heavy guy.
He's the
dad bod. And he took his shirt off on the stage.
He's the guy that always does his comedy act with no shirt on.
Yeah. Well, he opens it and basically says that he's been living life the Chris Farley way, kind of. You know, on the road, drugs, alcohol, late nights, and he's headed for an early grave. I think he actually had a heart attack or something. And so at the behest of his wife, he's going to take a little time off and go away to a cabin. But being who he is, he decides he wants to make it an entertaining thing. And so the first night there, he invites a couple of his friends up. And so it's a reality show kind of thing. So it is interspersed, like a woman shows up who has like stones and crystals and she's trying to align his chakras. And, so he's trying to relax and get away from it all. But also he hires a guy to come up and roll cigars for them and roll them one cigar as a giant joint. And, he orders an emu.
Is it funny?
And then butchers an emu. No, there's some kind of funny aspects, but for the most part, I sat there going, I don't know if I really like this.
Okay.
Because I like his comedy, but this was more like him hanging out with his buds and doing a semi-reality thing. So, I don't know. I saw that on one of the future episodes, Joel McHale's on there. So, I mean, I might keep watching as like a background thing, but I can't really give it a hard sell, honestly.
Okay.
But I will say this, too. That show that I told you about on AMC, Soulmates.
Yeah.
It is an actual anthology.
Okay.
So that first episode there with the man and the woman and they had the perfect relationship, nowhere near this one. This one was actually really good. It was a guy, and I can't think of who he is, but basically you've seen him before. And he's a professor at a college.
Yeah.
He's married to – his wife is the daughter of, like, the head of the college.
Sure.
And he doesn't like him. You know, the father-in-law is like, look, I don't like you. You're married to my daughter. I'm going to be retiring. And my last wish is retiring next week is I'm going to name you for tenure. And so he's excited. He's like, oh, I'm going to get tenure. This is great. But this woman shows up and she's like, hey, I took the test and we're soulmates. You know, I took that soul test. And he's like, I hid my results. How did you get that? And she's like, I did a bad thing. I hacked the system. And he's like, you shouldn't have done that. So basically, things are a little rough at home, so he agrees to meet up with her. She's like, maybe we should just be friends. You know, maybe the universe just wants us to be friends. So he meets up with her, and then they end up having sex. And then she, like, starts torturing him, like inserting videos of their sexual escapades and pictures in his lesson plans and stuff like that. It's one of those long, drawn-out stories where it turns out that at his last teaching job, he kind of fell for one of the students and she fell for him, and they had an affair, and he claims he loved her, but then he broke up with her and she killed herself.
Oh, that sucks.
And this is her sister who's come back for revenge.
Ah, so maybe they're not really soulmates.
Right. They were not. She hacked the whole thing.
Okay.
So yeah, it's interesting. I like anthologies, as I know you do. So I'm now even more excited to watch each episode of this show, knowing that it's always going to be different, but it's always going to be based around that idea of the soulmate test.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What else you got, my friend?
It's on AMC.
AMC, correct.
I may check that out.
Yeah. I can give that one. I wouldn't give it like a hard sell, but I could definitely give it a sell because it's an anthology and it's good.
I watched episode 2 of The Haunting of Bly Manor. I don't know if I like this show.
Okay.
I know it's only 9 episodes. I talked to someone else who's watched the first 5 episodes, and they were like, yeah, it's really, really slow. It's definitely not as good as House on Haunting a Hill House. But, I mean, it is a decent story. They're just taking a long time to get there. And then I read other people that I was like, oh, that was really great once I got to episode 8. I'm like, it's fucking 1 episode to go. You suffered through 8 fucking hours of boring. You know, like, so I don't know.
So, I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I have similar concerns, and I said them to my sister, who, as you know, I bounce ideas off of.
Yes.
And I said, you know, the little girl creeps me out, and she annoys me. You know, everything's perfectly splendid.
Perfectly splendid.
Perfectly splendid. And the little boy is a fucking sociopath.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
I want to grab him by the ankles and wrap him up against a wall.
Yeah.
So, as she said, she was like, remember that with Hill House, the very first episode, you saw all of them on, like, the worst night of their lives.
Yeah.
And so it kind of built from there. This one is a lot slower of a build. She told me that everything does.
It all?
Yes. She told me everything does get explained, that there's a reason for these things, and that she likes it. She doesn't like it as much as the first one, but she does like it, and she hopes that I stick with it. Like you said, I don't have a lot of shows right now, so I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
It's Halloween time, so horror stuff is...
Aren't shows coming back this week?
I saw on my DVR that This Is Us is coming back very shortly here.
Yeah.
It's either this week or next week.
I know. Holy Supernatural crap. Is actually back. I didn't realize they've already got 2 episodes out.
I watched one of them.
I was like, oh shit, Supernatural's back. Maybe I should watch it. I'm like, no, I already missed the first 2. Third one's next week.
I'm watching on the CW app.
If I just wait for all 7, it'll be on Netflix, and I can sit down and purge about
it. Okay. So I said I would sit down and actually watch this season because you were like, I'm definitely going to watch.
Oh, you are.
I was like, fine, I'll watch this season. You know,
I'll catch up then.
Okay.
And I didn't know you were going to watch it.
Like tonight, I was like, I'm going to watch it right before I go over there. And then you're like, yeah, I'm not going to watch it. Fuck.
Did you like it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, God, it's still Supernatural. But it's 7 episodes and it's the very last ones.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they had a previously on and I'm watching it and I'm like, I don't recognize most of this stuff, but okay. But I got enough of it just by watching the episode. You know, I now know that there's a Jack, and he's apparently Lucifer's son, and he has a destiny to save the world.
I didn't know Jack. Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Apparently there's Jack, and he's Lucifer's son.
I know. I'm familiar.
And, so he's going to kill God. That's his destiny.
Yeah.
And, this whole one, you could definitely tell the quarantine's in effect, because this whole one took place almost entirely in the bunker, and... then occasionally went out to little hotel rooms.
Okay, see now, but this one was already filmed.
Oh, okay.
This one was already in the can. They only had to film parts of the last 3 episodes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they had already filmed, I think they'd already filmed 17 episodes completely and had them all done. So this just happenstance, unless they move things around.
Gotcha.
But going back real quick, Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah.
And it was probably... let's talk about what happened.
Oh, please
episode.
Do. Yeah. I thought you were giving up. So I was like,
I feel
trying
like
to make
I
it
am.
Compelling.
I feel, I mean, I'm going to try, but
that's fine.
I mean, the long of the short of it, we find out why Miles got
Every time you say that, I want to do the too late from Clue.
Yeah. We find out that why Miles was expelled from school.
Yeah.
Like, his sister sent him a letter saying, come home now.
And it wasn't even a letter. It was a colored picture man, a woman, and her.
Yeah, and it said, come home now. And so, basically, he just did whatever he could do to get himself expelled.
Yeah.
And it took a lot, because one guy just didn't want to give up on him.
He was championing.
Oh, God. That took up a big chunk. And then there's the mysterious man that we keep seeing.
Who? I've seen him before.
I have, too. I just can't place it.
Yeah.
And then we have, you know, they want to play hide and seek.
Which, okay, hold on.
Oh, hold on.
Hide and seek is a creepy enough game.
Oh, yeah.
In a creepy house with creepy kids.
Yeah.
Who already locked you in a closet once.
Right, yeah. And Miles put a chokehold on her, and is just like...
Oh, and got her flowers, and he's like, you know, oh, you have to deal with children sometimes.
Yeah, it's just... Oh, no, he was repeating what the gardener had said to her about the kids.
Oh, yeah.
So clearly he overheard it, so he cut flowers that the gardener was growing to give to her. So he basically was like, hey, I know what's going on and what you said, and...
Gotcha. That makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, but the apparition she keeps seeing was a guy that was in a photo with her that the little girl found. And then, like you said, there's all these ghosts making all these noise behind her, and the little girl just turns and tells him to shut up, basically.
Yeah, she's like, shh.
Yeah.
It was a creepy-looking ghost because it was like a living doll or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, I just... And I know it's like 1987 on the show, but those mom jeans that she's sporting
are, the mom haircut,
are just way too much for me, actually. Yeah.
So, do you think you're going to watch another episode?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I will.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, give it one more. You can try it. You can do it. All right. Moving on. We've still got... Ooh, we got a lot there.
The Boys?
Yeah, we got a lot of The Boys. You said you did not, or you... I believe your words were, fuck that show about Monsterland this week.
Yeah.
It was New Orleans.
Yeah, you said it was terrible.
Yeah, it was. It was another terrible one. Basically, here, I'm going to run this down for you. Okay, I'm ready for this. You ready for this? So it opens in New Orleans. This mom is looking for her son. Busy street, like Mardi Gras kind of thing, which if you've ever been to New Orleans, I have, so I can say this. It looks like that quite often. Like, just crowds of people in the streets, or, you know, bands that will suddenly start playing. So it could have been Mardi Gras, could have been anything. The husband or step-husband or whatever, he goes looking for the kid and finds the kid and brings him back. And she's like, oh, what happened? And he's like, a monster was chasing me. And she's like, what do you mean? And he, like, describes some monster briefly after he starts talking again, because at first he wasn't talking at all. And he had hurt his wrist somehow. So then a little time passes, and her husband there, I believe, gets tenure, and some people start coming forward and me tooing him. And it turns out that he was sexually abusing a lot of minors, like not just girls, but young girls, like 11-year-olds and stuff.
Sure.
And so he's fucked. And so now suddenly it's years later, and the kid's all grown up and in college, and he comes back and talks to mom, and he's like, don't you remember what happened? And she's like, what do you mean? And she's like, that monster that chased you, it was in the house. And he goes, mom, there was no monster. And she's like, I hear it. Because she always hears this, like, trumpet music, like jazz music. And it drives her nuts. And then there's some monster with glowing eyes like he described. And he's like, mom, that monster never existed. That was your husband. He did that to me that he did to those girls. That's how my wrist got hurt. He found me and he molested me. And she's like, no, it's not true. And he's like, you need to believe it. And she's like, I won't believe it. And he's like, then I'm leaving and I'm never coming back. And she's like, I don't care. And so he leaves. And she still hears the jazz music and still hears the jazz music. So she takes an awl and stabs herself in the eardrum so that she won't hear it anymore. But she can still hear it. Ooh. Fucking show. I'm done. Again, it was another... This is definitely the theme going forward. I think we're beyond the point where we say, you know... I think the theme is... No, this is the theme. And the theme is monsters don't exist. People are monsters.
Yes. Sure.
The people are the monsters in all of these cases. So, like in this case, it was a pedophile. What about Utopia?
I watched it.
You're not very enthusiastic about things this week.
No, well, I don't know. Utopia just... I don't know. I watched it.
They discovered that the numbers under her phone, under her fingernails, were a phone number.
Homeland Security.
Some office, some woman who tells them they have, she has no idea who this is, hangs up and immediately calls back and says, meet me at this place. And it's an old Toys R Us. How creepy was that, by the way? Because they probably got
a real Toys R Us. I don't know. There's this committee that works for the pharmaceutical company, and basically they're saying they're going to kill a bunch of people with the virus. They're going to launch it on this park.
Yep.
And she's like, "What? My kids play at that park." And he's like, "Fine, we'll do it at a different park."
Yeah, that's his solution.
And she's like, "You can't be okay with killing people." And everyone in the room's like, "Yeah, progress." And so they kill her. They have the hitman, which I'm guessing is Mr. Rabbit.
I was going to say, you just summed it up really succinctly. The lengths they went to kill this woman.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to get there.
Okay. I thought you were just going to let them. Yeah, they killed her.
So they decide to kill her, but they basically get the hitman that's alive, which I'm guessing this is Mr. Rabbit. Because, all right, Jessica Hyde finally meets up with Grant. When they come back from, you know, because in the previous episode, they had gone their separate ways. Mm-hmm. So Jessica Hyde comes back with Grant, and we find out that he did not bring all the pages of Utopia with him.
Right.
He only brought half.
Yeah.
But she, like, basically is going to kill him to get the pages. Like, she's being...
She was psycho.
She is a... I love it when they say, my father... Basically, they're like, your father created all these viruses to kill all these people. He goes, yeah. She goes, yeah, to save me. And one of them is just basically like, oh, so you think it's okay that he's killed thousands of people to save you?
Yeah.
No, that's not how. And that's how our brain works.
Exactly.
I will kill anyone I need to kill as long as I live and do what I want to do. So, no, she's not some hero that she's made out to be in the comic books. She's fucking crazy. She's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Who looks out for only herself. And will kill literally anyone and anything that stands in her way. Basically, every fucking character on this show is a sociopath that will just kill anyone. And if you're not, then you're killed. It's...
Kind of, yeah.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah. Like, at least with Dirk Gently, because I'm going to keep going back to that, because that was the whole reference point that my sister used. You know, at least with Dirk Gently, like, there was death, but, like, it was more like... inconvenient kind of stuff. Like Fiona Durf was, or Finola Durf or whoever.
Sure.
She, the dirty woman, killed people because that was what she was. She was an assassin. These people are just fucking killers. They just kill.
Kill to kill. So they get basically the guy who's the White Rabbit. That's who I'm guessing who this is. This hitman that we still have. They go to kill her family, but they're going to frame Grant.
Yep.
To do it. So they find another kid that looks... similar to Grant and Build and everything.
Really similar. Like, almost creepily similar.
And they have him put on gloves that have Grant's fingerprints on them. And this hitman puts on gloves that they've made with Grant's fingerprints on them. So if they touch anything, they're leaving Grant's fingerprints behind because they collected his fingerprints from the hotel.
Right. So I like how the kid was like, what did he touch? And he's like, oh, kids touch everything.
Yeah. So he gives the kid a gun and basically has the kid walk through public so he's visibly seen towards his house. But then at least the hitman went in and killed everybody, including children and babies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he saw another kid that like came out of the bathroom that kind of looked like him as a kid eating chocolate covered raisins or whatever. Like he does, just being a weird kid. And so he has a little freak out moment about it, but he kills him.
Yep.
So he just goes in and kills everyone.
Because that's what John Cusack told him to do.
Yep. And he's cool with it. So they're going to set up Grant that way. On the other side, what, the lady they meet up with, what does she tell them?
She basically tells them the entire plot of the story.
Yeah.
Like, she tells them everything that is going on and everything that, you know, how this guy was taken away and how he, you know, made these viruses and how Jessica was, you know, held in reserve and blah, blah, blah. I mean, she, like, it's a plot dump,
yeah,
essentially.
It was a plot dump.
And then she's like, well, if you're not Jessica, then I don't want to talk to you. Tell Jessica to call me sometime. And drops off a phone. And they're like, well, no, we can do it. And she's like, no. Just tell Jessica to call me, and leaves.
And then something about how they have to get home.
Yeah.
Home is where the heart is or something like that.
Yeah, because Jessica keeps saying that that's where she's going to go, is home.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember this, and they're like, well, what do you remember? And she's like, oh, this guy came once a week and brought me cookies. And they're like,
whoa,
the episode, Mr. Rabbit.
Yeah, Mr. Rabbit fed Jessica hiding the dystopia comic. And
I'm waiting for the moment when it all kind of starts clicking. Even with that whole plot dump, it didn't really click.
Well, it hasn't clicked yet. We got 4 episodes left. I'm tempted just to sit down and fucking watch all of them just to get over with.
Yeah, I hear you.
I really am. I'm not going to, but I'm tempted. I just, because I'm not really enjoying it ultimately.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. Oh, and don't forget, we also had the side story of Rainn Wilson's character actually getting into the quarantined area because he teamed up with that group of parents who all wanted to see their kids. And so he gets himself in there. They finally approve his clearance and he goes to go in. And that one dad is like, oh, tell my daughter that I love her. And he's like, he's my assistant. He's coming with me. Now, all this time to get that security clearance. And then he's like, oh, well, this guy's going to come with me. They're like, okay. They weren't going to let him in before they did the background check and the clearance and everything like that. Now they're like, oh, but since you cleared, you can just bring anybody
you want. Right, I need to bring my medical assistant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the guy gets to see his daughter basically dying in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. I don't want to say fuck this show, but I'm borderline fuck this show.
Gotcha. No,
And I think that's what sucks, because I'm not really... I didn't really enjoy anything this week that I watched, shows-wise.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. I know you told me at least one of them that you enjoyed.
Oh, yes. But I guess while I was on vacation. Because I watched a lot of these. Like, Fargo was okay. Cobra Kai was okay. Utopia was okay.
Gotcha.
You know, Bly Manor is... And I watched, like, those on vacation, like, with my like, I had my headphones on, my tablet in front of me. So,
oh, so you actually, like,
they got my full attention. I wasn't, you know what
that
I mean?
That sucks.
And I didn't care for any of them.
So, yeah, I get that. That kind of,
you know, sucks. And I watched The Boys before we left, the first episode. And then I watched the last two Friday night.
Okay.
So I did enjoy The Boys.
Yeah.
And we watched the new show, Hellstrom.
Yep.
I enjoyed the hell out of that.
That was a decent show.
It's kind of sad that the other shows, what they were going to do, the Ghost Rider show that was canceled. And so I don't have much faith now. I kind of looked into it because I had forgotten about all that because I couldn't remember. Anyways, I don't have a lot of faith we're going to get more than this one season at this point because
I feel that way about a lot of shows.
All the Marvel shows, Marvel TV universe got absorbed into the cinematic universe like in last December or something. And so we're not early. Anyways, that's why the Ghost Rider show was canceled. And then with all the all the shows that are going to be on Disney Plus now and the changes that are happening, I don't have a lot of faith we're going to get more than this one episode.
Season.
Yeah, this one season, sorry.
It's kind of like I had set it up for a series recording on my DVR for Swamp Thing, and a couple episodes have recorded, and it's the same way. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch it. I've heard so much good about it, but I know we're not getting more.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I really did. But, yeah, you're right. It kind of sucks when you're not getting any more.
Yeah. Don't we all know it?
Sexual reference.
So tell us about Hellstrom, since you liked it so much.
Well, okay, so it was really tough to watch one episode.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm worried, I'll tell you this right now, and I'm not trying to sound negative, but I'm worried that the first episode was good.
Yeah.
But it was pilot good. Like,
you're going to
watch the second episode and go, oh, this is kind of slowing down. Oh, this is getting lame. Oh, and You know what I mean? Because there's some of those where they'll like come on strong in the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, this is going to be a great show. And then it just kind of goes downhill.
Well, the Hellstroms, Damon and Anna.
Yep.
They live in Portland, Oregon, and San Francisco.
Yep.
He is a college professor.
Yep.
Who is also like a demonologist. Like, not priest, but exorcist as well.
I was going to say, he's not John Constantine.
No, no, no.
But he knows enough about it.
And he has some sort of powers.
Yes.
Yes. He has powers. And then there's his sister Anna, who runs an auction house down in San Francisco. But that's basically a cover for her to lure in serial killers so she can kill them. But she, like, sucks their powers or somehow.
Like, or sucks the darkness out of them.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's kind of interesting. So, in this episode, he is... We see him. He has demonic abilities. But he uses his abilities to stop demons. And we see he gets brought in at the beginning for this family, with this priest or minister or whatever, who... Or not minister.
An old priest and a young priest.
None. This nun who brings him in, basically, and is like, yeah, this family's child is possessed, and, you know.
This was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, there's, like, shit on the walls from Flood the Dead, and he's threatening and all this other stuff. And so he's like, no matter what you hear, don't come in. So he shows up, and he goes inside.
Well, first he berates the nun. He's like, you know, oh, they sent you?
Yeah.
What am I even doing here?
Fair enough. So he heads in, and he goes up and confronts the kid, and basically he determines the kid's just an asshole.
He tests it by throwing holy water on him, and the kid's like,
and he's like, yeah, this is from your toilet. Not from the bowl, but, you know. From
I'm not a monster.
The backside. And you also left off the kid was spouting some biblical verse, but he left a part off. Yeah. And basically he responds to the kid and shits on him for his poor execution of Latin, and he didn't even say the whole verse. And the kid's like, get the fuck out of here, basically. Get out of my room, and... You know,
and then when Damon goes, what you should have said was, and he finishes the verse, and like this ring of fire explodes around him, and he's like, now clean this up with bleach.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to go downstairs, apologize to your parents for being a shithead. You're going to clean the shit off the walls with bleach, floor to ceiling with bleach, and da 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 da. And he walks out.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically tells the parents, like, yeah, your son, good news, your son's not a demon. He's just an asshole. He's not possessed, da da da, and the parents are like, who are you to tell us? And he's like, you know, lay off the vodka and YouTube or TV is not
a good parent.
Yeah. So
and then later on the nun, she comes to him and she's like, yeah, they're going to get family counseling, and he's like, it's not going to help.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you could have been nicer to them. No. Like, no, I'm not going to be nicer to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the one that dragged me out here. He's like, you couldn't even see that it wasn't a real possession.
Yeah.
He's like, that's on you.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. And his mother's possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's at a mental hospital. And that's
Frances Marvel.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And she's possessed by a demon named Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't. And her husband was a serial killer Satanist. That's the other thing. Their dad was a serial killer Satanist. So he can't help his mom, which sucks. He can't get the demon out of his mother,
But somehow they've got her contained in this asylum.
In this room, yes. And I think it's maybe because she helps them contain her in there.
Could be, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, they're probably using mystical forces to keep her in there. So.
There's a, I wouldn't even call it a side story, but one of the things that's probably going to be an overarching plot is this guy who has these two inmates on a work release program.
Yes.
Down into a crypt, and they help him find this thing. And he's like, I don't even know why you were chosen. And they basically offer him up as sacrifice to this crypt, this tomb. The sarcophagus wraps itself around him and absorbs him, kills him.
Yeah.
And then there was something in there. There was some demon in there because the skull is like massive and has one eye socket. And I like how the guy was like, you know, I'm thinking demon. She goes, oh, it's got one eyeball. Good guess. Yeah, you're a whiz at this.
And it had had some sort of symbol on the skull.
Yep.
The same symbol that the mother drew on the wall in the asylum.
Which, as Damon said, roughly translated as consumption.
Yes. It looks really cool.
It does.
It looks really cool. I really, really fucking enjoyed it. The nurse at the hospital that got absorbed by the tomb, is we see him at the end attacking. He's now possessed by a demon, and he's attacking like a truck driver or trucker or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of it. So I'm looking forward to episode two. But you're kind of right, you know.
I'm not trying to be negative, but just I've seen so many shows like that where they come on strong right out of the gate. You know, they blow their load, essentially, if we want to do it that way. They blow their load in the beginning, and then they say, oh, no, we can still do stuff. It'll be okay. No, just give me a little bit to recover myself, and that's the next few episodes.
Right. So, we'll see what happens.
Right.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
What other shows did you watch this week?
The only two shows that I've got, I watched Archer again, which is just great. It's really good this season. But the only other two that I've got here are we watched the last three episodes of The Boys.
Yeah.
And the final episode of Teenage Bounty Hunters.
I enjoyed the hell out of the final episode.
I'll tell you, I was walking, and these have always been like 42 minutes long.
Yeah.
And at the 42-minute mark was when they pulled over for her to pee at the rest station.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are they going to wrap this up? And then I hit pause, and I'm like, oh, it's an extended episode. It's like an hour and 7 minutes. I'm like,
yeah, it was a long episode.
Like, I was rooting for this to be an extended episode. Holy crap. Did you see any of that coming?
No, that mom had a twin?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Identical twin. And I love how Blair's first thing is, oh, you even get the better kind of twin.
Yes.
Great. You already had everything, Mom. Now you get the better kind of twin.
Right.
Love that.
I hated – okay, here's the thing, though. I actually dislike the fact that the mom wasn't the actual criminal. I know that's going to sound dumb, but the mom wasn't the arsonist, that her twin sister was, and that she was covering for her sister, because it doesn't make any sense why she would cover for her sister this big. I love my family, but if they were shitheads, I wouldn't – in blackmailing me, basically, I wouldn't cover for them like that.
Yeah.
That's my issue with that.
Yeah.
And also, it doesn't explain why she has the guns and all the cash and everything in that storage container. Because if they really had to pay off the sister, they would have the means to do it. So I feel like there's some untold story there.
Well, they did say, Dad said that they've been helping her as much as they could and, you know, buying her way out of trouble and stuff. But she kept asking for more and kept asking for more. And now she's just gone too far.
Right. So
maybe the storage container was a drop-off point. Like, this is where we'll leave your stuff. And she went in there and checked and found the gun and found the cash and was like, motherfucker, what the hell?
Yeah. Oh, maybe, yeah.
Maybe that's why she was so upset.
Yeah. So at the beginning, basically, the kids confront their mother straight away, which was I liked.
Yes.
And beat around the bush. And basically, she's like, yeah, I did it. And then Bowser messaged him, like, you need to come talk to me. So they go to the shop, and Bowser's like, I'm not going to turn your mother in, but because I've now had to breach my moral values, my ethical code, I can't work with you anymore, and I'm done. And so they're kind of sad because they find out that, like, especially Blair, that they're really good at this, and they really like Bowser. So he's like, no, I can't do this, girls. I'm not going to turn your mother in. You're on your own, though. So he kicks him loose. He later on goes to see Yolanda. Is it Yolanda?
Yes.
Yeah. And confront her and tell her, hey, I'm going to Florida. This is your radio back. This is stuff I'm doing. And she's just like, why?
He's already made arrangements.
Yeah. She's like, well, you left Florida for a reason. Yeah, I know I did, but I got to get out of here. There's nothing here for me. Oh, thanks. That means a lot. You're with somebody.
Yeah.
Which I missed my shot. I know I did. What about those girls? No. What do you mean, what about those girls? Well, they're your family. They're most certainly not my family. She's like, yeah, they pretty much are. You know, like, no, they're just...
But just to drive the point home, his phone rings, that's the brunette
one. The brunette one, yeah, which I think is hilarious. And he answers the phone, and she's like, I need your help now. And he's like, okay,
yep.
I'll be there.
Yep.
Because They've become family. Blair goes to Miles' house and professes his love and apologizes. And
I loved how over the top ridiculous it was without being comical. Like, she walks in and the butler's right there. And he's like, I'm sorry. He's enjoying dinner with his family. Would you like to stay in the guest living room? Yeah. She's like, no. And she marches into the kitchen. She sees a bunch of people. She's like, I need to talk to Miles. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. He's having he's enjoying dinner
very
with his family.
Polite, aren't they? Would you like to go to the guest living room? No, I don't.
But then the second time it's a different room. It's like, would you like to go to the guest parlor?
Yeah.
And then she marches right in and she, as you said,
I love you. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I'm sorry for interrupting your dinner, this and that and everything.
And then Mom says the worst thing she could have said.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh. Because here's the thing. When this started, Blair is the kid from the affluent family. And the guy she falls for, Miles, he's the black kid that works as a valet at the country club that she goes to. And then she finds out that he has money and that his mom's like a senator and a doctor, or a senator and a lawyer or whatever. Yeah. And her dad's his dad's a doctor and this and that. So they're kind of more fluent than she is. Mm-hmm. So now she's like, but she never has the, oh, maybe I'm not good enough feeling towards him. But then she does fuck up their relationship. Mm-hmm. So then when she goes to say, I'm sorry, I want to do this, I love you, blah blah blah, and she explains it to Sterling by telling Sterling, like, I love you like Luke loves you, and she goes like, oh, that's a lot of love.
Yeah.
So she heads out, and then he chases her outside and is like, basically he's kind of says, well, you weren't, I mean, think about it, you're some white Republicans.
That was the thing, yeah. This is an election year, and you're a white Republican family.
Yeah.
White conservative.
White conservative, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, like, that doesn't look good for my mother's image. So, of course, I didn't tell them about you. So, the perception that they give us that Blair has on Miles is actually the perception that Miles has on Blair. And it's a reverse role that you don't expect. So, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, he's the one looking down on her. Yeah. She's the embarrassment.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the thing, Sterling goes to this walk-in party, which I'm not going to go into detail about the absurdity of that.
I've been to one before.
I haven't, thank God. But April basically is like, decides she's not ready to come out, so she's going to basically
which I called earlier.
Yep. She's going to ignore Sterling. She's going to flirt with Luke and be kind of slutty with Luke. And then tell Sterling later, hey, my dad's out.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's home. And he actually asked about you guys, but we have to talk about that later. So that wasn't addressed at all.
He's very, very homophobic and anti-gay.
Yes. So I can't be who I want to be right now. Yep. And I'm not ready for that. Yep. And I'm sorry. But, and then fucking, so then Luke sees April outside, Sterling outside, and runs after her, and
this was the one bad part.
Do you mind if I ask out April? And she's like, yeah, I should probably say yes. And then Sterling does exactly what Blair said Sterling would do before she found out that she was, you know, seeing April, which was, you're going to get back together with Luke because it's safe and it's comfortable and it's complacency. And she basically does.
Because he, like, you know, runs his hand through her hair real quick and, you know, he tells her that he's always there for her and he really can support her for anything. He's trying to be nice, but at the same time, they kiss.
And then mom shows up in their truck because they gave the twin, Debbie's sister, Dana. There we go. Twin sister, Dana.
Yep.
They gave her truck. They gave them her truck. And so she picks up Sterling, but Sterling figures out pretty quickly that's not her mom and kind of pulls a gun. So Sterling does some hijinks where she uses her credit card to overdraft their account and buy all the Sour Patch Kids, and then leaves a note in the bathroom using the sugar on them to,
and her lip gloss,
and on her lip gloss so you could see the message.
Yep.
And leaves them clues about who has her and Levi and on and on and on. And when Bowser show when mom and dad find out that Dana has Sterling, he's like putting his foot down. We're calling the fucking police.
Yep.
End of discussion. And then calls the police and then proceeds to like not tell him anything and dance around everything. That was so annoying.
Well, not only was it annoying, but here's the thing. And again, we're going to go back to our law enforcement time.
Turn that fucking bitch in if she kidnapped your daughter.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. My first thought was the police officers who were making the report. They're like, okay, so she's been missing for an hour.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And when was the last time she was seen? Oh, she was seen in basically they're like in our truck with her sister. Okay. So a family member in a family vehicle picked her up an hour ago and you're reporting her missing. And I was like, the cops aren't supposed to. They're not going to be skeptical. They're going to take the report.
Exactly.
No matter what. And then I thought, I know a few officers who would be like that. Really?
But here's the other thing. They're telling them that she's dangerous, but they won't tell her why.
Which is dumb. It's the same way that these people go to the doctor's office and are like, I don't want to tell you. No, everything's fine. And you know, their leg is falling off.
Right. So Bowser texts Blair and is like, I'm here. So she runs outside, jumps in the vehicle, and she's like, I did XYZ. And Bowser's like, that's really impressive.
Yeah.
So long and the short of it.
I love the logic behind the Sour Patch Kids. She goes, oh my God, she bought Sour Patch Kids because she'd know that I know because I love them, but she hates them because they're like razor blades in her mouth. Yep.
They are.
It's the same way with banana runts.
Yes.
Runts are amazing. Banana runts are the fucking devil.
They really are.
Because there's no way to bite a banana runt without feeling like you're breaking off a piece of tooth.
No, there isn't.
In fact, you just, like, you're going,
I'm thinking about past experiences.
Anybody who's listening to this right now is probably feeling their teeth hurting from a fucking banana runt. The flavor's great, but boy, biting into it, like, it's the way that it's spread out. Oh, my God. Like, you literally think you're going to crack a tooth on them.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sour Patch Kids do shred your mouth. Like Cap'n Crunch. So she goes out in the vehicle with Bowser. Sorry, I cut her off there.
That's fine. She goes out in the vehicle and is like, I did XYZ, and Bowser's impressed. She's like, yeah, I'm actually really good at this bounty hunter stuff and tracking people down. And Bowser uses, let's say, Eric, his rival bounty hunter who's dating Yolanda, uses his source to contact the police to find out who Levi is. Mm-hmm. And they basically get an address.
And I love that he's in the tub.
Yeah.
You know, taking a tub.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I got you all the info.
They go to the trailer park, and they snuff him out. And I love that Blair and Bowser are outside the trailer. They see Sterling through the window, bound and gagged. They do the twin thing where they talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
even though she's gagged.
Yes, and they talk to each other and apologize to each other and this and that and everything. And then she's like, hey, Dana and Levi are on the other side of the door. And they're armed and da, da, da. How do you know that? Just trust me.
And he's like, okay.
Yeah, okay. So he makes her hide.
Yep.
Like, protecting her hide. And then he proceeds to kind of get into a shootout with Levi.
Yep.
And shoots Levi in the leg.
I love how proud he was, too.
Yes,
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, got you.
And then on the other side, Dana's got
Sterling
at gunpoint, bringing her out to the vehicle. And then Mom shows up, puts a shotgun to her head, and is like, you let my daughter go. And then the police are showing up, and then they do the twin thing.
Which was really cool.
Yeah. And we find out that...
That was Mom and the aunt doing the twin thing.
Yeah, the twin Mom and aunt are doing the twin thing, talking to each other. And we find out the big secret reveal, which is that Dana is Sterling's mother.
Yeah.
So Sterling and Blair aren't actually twins.
Yeah. Like, maybe they were born at the exact same time?
Or... Maybe there's some weird coincidence that way.
Or maybe it's going to be one of those I carried you type
maybe,
of thing.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's just Sterling.
It was a cliffhanger.
It's just Sterling, though.
Yeah, Sterling, I'm your mama.
Yeah. And that's the end of it. But essentially, so Sterling and Blair, we believe, are not twins. But they clearly have a giant connection and grew up together and thought
and they do the twin talk.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So hopefully it doesn't change anything on that side of the fence. Has this been renewed for season two?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But
on October 5th, Netflix canceled the series after one season.
What? So we're never going to get the answer? Wait, I think it's based on a comic book, so we can look it up.
I can't believe they fucking canceled the show.
I can't either. And I was just going to say, so I was talking to a friend of mine, and
I was
selling her on it, and was basically saying that I really enjoyed this show. Like, I give it a hard sell because it was a lot more enjoyable than I ever planned for it to be.
It was a very fun show, and Netflix fucking canceled it.
What a bunch of jerks. I'm so mad now.
I actually am, too. Damn.
This is kind of like when I found out that they canceled Cloak and Dagger. You know?
That was a great show.
It was.
It's 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. Why the fuck would they cancel this?
I know.
I don't think it's based on a comic book.
Damn it. Now I want to know the truth.
That sucks.
All right. All right. I got to move on from this. Let's talk about The Boys. Or not.
Damn.
I think Mike's trying to read something.
Well, I'm annoyed.
I am as well.
All right, whatever. Yeah, so I watched the last three episodes of season two of The Boys, and what did you think?
I'm glad we watched the last three episodes, you know, rather than...
waiting it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you saw... So once you saw episode six and what I had seen and you had forgotten to watch, and we get the big reveal, because we can go into it because it's been out for a couple of weeks now. We get the big reveal that Stormfront isn't just a white supremacist. Stormfront is a Nazi, like in every sense of the word, because she was created by the Nazis.
Well, she was born in 1919.
Yep.
And her husband was the person that created Compound V.
Vaughn.
And she was the first person that it was tested on.
Yep. And apparently that makes her immortal.
Well, among that, other things. That was her power that came out of it was immortality.
Plus the electricity thing. Don't forget to test the electricity.
Right, sure.
Yeah. She shows a picture to, I was about to say Highlander, to Homelander of her with her daughter, who, you know, in the picture was like 80-something years old.
Yep.
She was there with Hitler. She helped all the big Nazi scientists.
Oh, yeah. And she believes in the master race.
She does. And, boy, some of the – you know, this is another one of those, like, I saw a thing the other day that said that Utopia is a great show that came out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because we're in the middle of a pandemic right now, and so that hits a little too close to home. Some of the stuff she was spouting off in episodes 7 and 8 hits a little close to home right about now.
Sure does.
Holy crap.
Sure does.
The stuff like, these people are coming to take us away, and they want to wipe us off the planet. It's white genocide, and we need to fight back again.
Episode 7. And Homelander's kind of like, yep.
Yeah.
Well, no. When she's saying all this to Homelander's son,
Ryan,
he's kind of like, you see him kind of pause, like he furrows his brow like, I think I agree with what you're saying. But he doesn't speak out.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah.
We get that montage in the beginning of episode 7 where it's all her talking points and her doing press releases and stuff. And you watch that one guy who's like working from home or whatever. And every day he's got the routine. He's like, okay, mom. But he's got like the wallpaper and the posters of Stormfront and the action figures. And he buys into it to the point where, you know, she keeps saying they're super terrorists and they're coming in from overseas and blah, blah, blah. And don't trust anybody of color. And so he keeps going to the same bodega and the guy behind the counter is Middle Eastern. Or
It's Ahmed Siddiqui.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
From Bit Players.
Yep. And which was awesome.
Yeah.
I knew he looked familiar and I just spaced it.
Well, something happens where like it looks like his eye, the clerk's eyes glow.
Yeah.
But they didn't. It was like a reflection from like a car or whatever it was, but it wasn't glowing eyes.
So this guy shot him dead.
Yeah.
And he was like, I know what you are. And he shot him on Stormfront's suggestion.
Yep.
And, you know, they have to, Stormfront and Vaught, they have to get in front of it and say, you know, oh, this was terrible, but these people are still coming.
Yeah.
You know, we still have to protect America.
Well, and then at the hearing, Congress is having Senate hearings against Vaught. And one of the old CEOs of Vaught shows up to testify because Butcher's basically, if you don't, I'm going to kill your whole fucking family.
Yeah, I like how... what is it, Madeline or whatever?
Yeah.
She goes in there first and tries to appeal to him. And he's like, no, no, I'm too old. So she calls Butcher.
Yeah.
And Butcher goes in and he's like, yeah, I squared it. Yeah, I'm ready. Because, he's like, I'm not only going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill you. Then I'm going to go find all your cunt children.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill them.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to find all your cunt grandchildren and I'm going to kill them. These are his words, not mine.
Yes.
And because like every third word out of his mouth is cunt.
Yeah.
And, he's like, and then I'm going to kill all your grandchildren, and I'm going to kill all the... He's like, I'm going to wipe out your entire family off the face of this planet.
Yep.
I like, too, that he said, I'll kill you first. He's not like, oh, I'm going to make you watch the whole thing. He's like, no, you're going to die. Then your family's going to die. Because it's not about the torture. He's just like, this is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
It is a job for me.
So he shows up to testify, and all of a sudden, like, the head of the Senate's head explodes, just like Rayner's head did earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And basically, all these heads start exploding. People are dying and being killed. So
very violently, it was kind of funny.
And no one knows who did it. No one's taking credit, obviously.
But we lost, it seemed to be a mix. It was like the guy was going to testify. Several members of the congressional staff.
Yep.
Not the one who, it was Jaya from Timeless. Not her. Not Madeline.
Not the congressman.
Not the congressman.
Well, and we find out why. At the end of episode 8.
Yeah.
Because she's the one that did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So not her. But random people in the courtroom start getting killed. And I like people slipping on the blood and falling down.
So Newman's the assassin, the senator. We find out she's the one that she has Compound V powers where she can make people's head explode by thinking about it.
Well, again. We think it's Compound V. We don't know.
Whatever. Yeah. True. Also in this episode,
they all kind of blur together for me.
They do, me too. I watched,
which is fine,
right? Stormfront manipulates Homelander to basically go manipulate Ryan to get her away from Becca, and Stormfront's like, "I'll be his new mom."
Yeah,
she doesn't matter.
Yep,
and so that's what they do.
And they take an 8-year-old straight up in the air and show him that the whole thing is fake and that his life has been a fake,
mm-hmm.
and he's 8, so of course he's like, "Man, get me out of here!"
Right. And they do.
But then quickly regrets it because he misses his mom. Because he's 8.
Yeah. He's like, can I call my mom? Can I talk to my mom? And it's like, no, no, no. They take him to basically like what was the restaurant chain?
Oh, it's
Hollywood restaurant chain.
It's like Vaultland.
Yeah. It's like Vaultland restaurant chain. And so because Homelander and Stormfront, everyone swarms them. So Ryan gets overwhelmed. So Homelander ends up taking his son and going.
Because this kid has lived in isolation with his mom.
Right. So it was too much for him. And then essentially they tell – because then
– Well, Homelander does that because he's being a father. And he's like, let me get you out of here. And Stormfront's basically like, toughen him up.
Yeah. You need to toughen him up.
Yeah.
And that's when she cuts the whole Master Race promo thing on him. Yeah. White genocide.
We need you to help us. Because they're trying to teach him to use his laser vision on a little action figure.
Right. So Becca escapes the compound. We see that at the beginning of episode 8. And she finds Butcher. And then Butcher basically makes the deal and with Edgar Vaught and finds, oh, so they're going to sell Compound V because of the attack on Congress.
Yes.
Well, now we need more soups than ever.
This was interesting to me, too, because they're going to sell Compound V to, like, he said, you know, the FBI, ICE is next on the list, Homeland Security, local law enforcement, but it's going for like $5 million a pop.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Remember, when we met Lamplighter, they were trying to perfect the V to work on adults because it didn't work.
No.
Okay. By the way, episode 6, when they break into the asylum place there or the hospital or whatever, I wanted so bad to be like, dude, by the way, in this episode, you're going to see the largest uncut penis you've ever seen in your life. And I was like, nope, let's let him just find that out on his
own. Yeah, that was hilarious. I thought that was
holy funny. God, when it goes back up his leg, and they're just like, you had a guy's dick around your neck. Holy crap.
I like how Lamplighter, because they all want to kill Lamplighter because he killed Madeline's kids.
Yes.
But he confesses that he was trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know her kids were there. Mm-hmm. Asks Frenchie, why didn't you stop me? And Frenchie, we find out that Frenchie had abandoned his post to go save a friend that had overdosed. Mm-hmm. And I think Lamp
did save him, but then a couple weeks later he OD'd in a different spot.
I think Lamplighter even asked him, like, so did you save your friend? He's like, I did that time, but I never saw him again. And like 4 months later, he overdosed and died anyways.
Yep. Which is sad.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They bring Lamplighter Madeline, who wants to kill him with good reason, and Lamplighter's like, please kill me. I want to die.
Because we find out that basically they were using Lamplighter as a mole back. This is why Madeline's kids died, because they got some dirt on Lamplighter, and they were like, you're going to report to us everything that goes on in the tower, or we're going to, you know, release this info. So he decided to kill Madeline so that she couldn't hold it over him, and that's when he killed the kids.
Yeah.
So we kind of got the whole backstory on that, which was nice.
So Starlight's mother, she meets up with her mother, and her mother basically is like, don't worry, I checked with whatever the...
Vought.
And you're all set to take some time off. You called them, they know where I am, and then Black Noir shows up and attacks her, and she wakes up in a jail cell that she can't, you know. And then they basically announce on news that Starlight was a mole, and she was a traitor, and she did all this bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Huey wants to go save her, and Lamplighter begrudgingly agrees to go.
Because Huey was left to watch Lamplighter and keep him under control, and all they're watching is porn.
Not just porn.
Seven.
The Seven parody porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Huey's argument that he's like, you can't watch porn at 11 in the morning. Like, it's daylight out. You can't watch porn. He's like, oh, if you want to watch porn, you can watch it anytime you want.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm going to be doing it anyway, you know?
Yeah. And so basically he's like, do you want to be the cuck or do you want to be the hero and help me go rescue Starlight? So Lamplighter's like, all right, let's go.
Yep.
So they go to the tower and his hand still works on the print, which is very important to know, so that way they can get in. And they go up to where this, they go up to like the boardroom, if you will. And Lamplighter's like, oh, they took my statue down. Why? I really want to do this in front of my statue. Do what? And Lamplighter sets himself on fire.
Yeah.
Which apparently he could, I would think if he has the power of fire, fire wouldn't hurt him. But not in this case.
I think that this might have been like a nod to all those people who, question like the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's on fire, but he's, you know, what about, so in this case he's like, oh, I can control fire sources.
Yeah. Which
that was the thing with him with Lamplighter, is he always had to have a fire source to control.
Correct.
That's why he kept a lighter with him. Or in the beginning it was a giant staff with a torch on the end.
Yeah. So he kills himself, setting off the fire alarm and basically allowing Lamplighter to, Starlight to break out of her cell. Huey then find Starlight's mom. Oh, he has to cut off Lamplighter's hand to get out of there.
This was so gross, but so realistic.
He breaks his arm,
yeah,
breaks a glass bottle, and uses the sharp glass to slice through the flesh on his arm, but he broke the arm first.
So that the bones,
he can't cut through the bones. Oh, and then he uses his hand to unlock the doors and unlock the cells, and he finds Starlight's mom. And then Black Noir is beating up Starlight, like kicking her ass, and then Maeve shows up and shoves an Almond Joy in his mouth. And it's like, is that an Almond Joy?
Is that an Almond Joy? Oh, yeah, he has a tree nut allergy.
Yeah.
And he's going for his EpiPen. He's like,
kicks it away. And yeah.
Like all of that, this unstoppable zombie beast thing. And it's like, oh, yeah, I just shoved an Almond Joy in his mouth.
Yeah, he's got a tree nut allergy. So they all escape. And then, you know, it's funny because Starlight Annie is just like, Huey, why are you here? Well, because you were in trouble. I needed to save you. And so she falls for him again. Mm-hmm. And I love how everybody's like, this is the guy?
Yeah.
This is the guy? Like,
Maeve calls him a twink.
Yeah, Maeve, her mom, everyone, this is the guy? Really? You know. So then we get to episode, essentially, 8. They go do attack on the cabin. Stormfront.
Like, usually when you go on Amazon and you bring up the episode, they have the title and the number and everything. Yep. And they'll give, like, a brief rundown. And this one was all in caps with stars around it. And it was like, supervillain alert. If you were seeing this, then a supervillain is loose. It was like a public service announcement right in the description of the episode. It was great.
I like that as well. So.
A needle pulling thread.
Exactly. So Stormfront is called away. Why is she called away? Trying to remember. Because it's Stormfront and Homelander, and they do something that gets Stormfront called away.
Yeah, they release.
Oh, they release, yes.
Because we forgot to mention that with the church.
Yes.
A-Train is in the church, but now like the Arrow guy, and I can't remember his name, the Robin Hood kind of guy.
Yes.
Has been disavowed by the church. They are really leaning heavily on the church as Scientology.
Yes.
Like everything about it has been kind
of
hinted.
The church and the collective, yeah.
Now it's like, to the point where the Deep even says, you know, oh, when you told me that we were all space alien spores, I stood by you, which is Scientology to a T.
Sure.
You know, the arranged marriages, the disavowalment, he's a negative influence. I mean, these are all literally the pillars of Scientology. So they were really kind of name dropping there.
So they're trying to get the Deep and A-Train back into the Seven. Mm-hmm. He gets the Deep back into the Seven.
He
gets the Deep back into the Seven, but not A-Train. That's why A-Train goes and breaks into the church's archives, finds the old records of Stormfront, and then he gives those to Huey and Annie for them to reveal.
Right.
And because the only way he's getting back into the Seven if Stormfront's out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So Deep actually is the one that gets to get back in, but then A-Train gives them that. They release that information showing that she's a Nazi, she's everything, and Stormfront takes off because of that.
Just want to say here, for as short-lived as it was,
yeah,
love Goran Vishnik as, once again, a villainous type of guy.
Oh, absolutely.
The leader of the church, of the collective. Genius.
So Stormfront takes off to go deal with that, mm-hmm, and then they set off the thing to get Homelander away from the house.
People turned on her fast.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And I love to, I'm pretty sure that that's a real video that it was not filmed for this. I think that was like a real video that somebody's done on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, where the guy's walking down the street and he's like, I can't believe I have to say this in this day and age. Nazis are bad.
I think that's a real video, yeah. So Homelander flies off to go take care of the devices that are putting out this high-pitched noise. And that's when Becca and Butcher roll in and grab
Ryan.
Then they take off. And
but they were supposed to go elsewhere, and instead they show back up.
Yes, because Butcher had made a deal with Edgar from Vought that he was going to turn Ryan back over to him, but then he couldn't do it.
I loved, by the way, the dialogue that they do in here. Some of the dialogue is so great.
Yeah.
When Butcher meets up with Edgar,
yeah,
and he sits down, Edgar's like, oh, can we have those Gruyere puffs?
Yeah.
He's like, would you like some? And Butcher goes, I assume you've got a guy out there with a bead on me. He goes, oh, two, actually. And he's like, yeah, then I'll skip the fucking
appetizers,
thanks.
But Edgar's just like, it's well worth it. They're a little bad, but it's well worth the cheat day.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, so he can't do it. I like Becca's like, no, you need to come with us. He's like, no, he doesn't need someone. That kid doesn't need someone like me around him.
I can't let my shit infect this kid.
Yeah.
Please let me do this one thing. It should also be noted, by the way, that in these episodes, after we got the backstory of Frenchie,
yeah,
the woman agreed to start teaching him her sign language.
Yes, and so they're talking to each other, yeah. So there's a great scene where they take off and Stormfront comes down because Homelander's back in the cabin now with the Vought's men.
Vought's men.
Trying to killing them all basically to find out where Ryan is, and they're not telling him. So then Stormfront shows up.
And once again, because it's Butcher, you know, he had the phone set up and it's sitting down there. He called it and the caller ID says the cunts at Vought.
Yeah.
They made sure to show that.
So Stormfront comes back and blasts the car and flips it over. So like Mother's Milk and Ryan and Becca's cars rolled. And then, you know, Annie is trying and the woman there, I can't think of her name. I'm just saying, I don't know.
No, it's Karen Fukunawa, but
I know. I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Kimiko. Yeah.
They're basically fighting Stormfront, trying to stop her.
Because Kimiko was worried that she was going to freeze up. Nope. She goes right over and starts kicking the crap out of her.
Yeah.
But then gets stopped.
Well, yeah. And so they're both fighting her. And then Butcher runs over and Butcher and Becca and Ryan run off in the woods, mm-hmm, to get away from everything going on.
Now, Frenchie had designed an RPG rocket head with an EMP payload.
Yes.
That would cancel out Stormfront's electricity.
Yes.
We never got to see it.
Well,
because
no.
He stupidly yelled out at the top of his lungs, back to the car. Get the RPG. It's our only chance. So she's like, okay, I'll nuke that.
She nukes the car, yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. In that fight, Kimiko got her neck snapped, didn't she?
Well, Maeve shows up and starts fighting Stormfront. And then the three girls are just kicking the shit out of her.
To some great music.
Yes. And the guys are standing there watching like, this is pretty awesome, isn't it? You know? And like, they're watching
not needed
it
at all.
But yeah, Kimiko does get her neck broken.
Yep.
And by Stormfront. But she heals and comes back up and keeps fighting.
Yeah.
And they kick.
Which is very important.
Yeah. And they're kicking the shit out of her until finally Stormfront flies off. And she catches up with Butcher and Ryan, and she must see them, and she lands with them,
mm-hmm,
and she's gotten the shit kicked out of her, mm-hmm, and basically she attacks them. She knocks Butcher down. She grabs Becca, basically says, you're worthless. And then she's choking
essentially her. Force choking her, but with her actual hand.
And she does that thing that we see her do as Liberty, where she says, like, or she said multiple times, she's like, no, look in my eyes. I like to see the light shine out.
Yeah.
And Ryan goes fucking nuclear.
Quite literally.
Like, he, like, his eyes are glowing, and he's like, let go of my mom! And there's, like, giant flash. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we see is Butcher waking up. And he kind of looks around, and then you see Stormfront. And she's missing her legs, her arms from, like, her legs and arms from, like, the joints down, like, the elbows down, the knees down. Her hair's all gone. Half her face is burnt up.
Melted up.
Yeah.
Because, don't forget, Becca had stabbed her in the eye with a knife.
Yes. And she is muttering. She's muttering in German.
Yep.
She is stove the fuck up. And
dude, later when she like reaches up with her arm and it's like ripped off the elbow and you see like the bone sticking out.
Yeah.
Good and, job, makeup department.
Oh, absolutely. And she's all stove up. And Butcher is standing there and you hear the kid crying. You say, I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry, Mom. And he looks over and Becca's jugular is ripped open or some blood's pouring out of her neck. And she basically dies, of course, but she makes Butcher promise that he'll
protect
Ryan and make sure he knows it wasn't his fault and this and that. And so Butcher's pissed and he picks up a crowbar and you kind of think he's going to go attack Ryan.
That was one of the coolest scenes in this was watching like that hatred in his eyes because he hates Supes.
Yeah.
He hated this kid because this kid represents the rape of his wife by Homelander.
Yeah.
The reason that his wife has been taken from him. He was finally going to get her back.
Oh, and he thought his wife was dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's finally going to get her back. He agreed to not separate her from this kid. Like, he hates everything about this kid.
Yeah.
And his wife just died in front of him. This crying kid is sitting over there.
I'm so sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
Saying it, yeah.
And he's got that crowbar and the look on his face. Carl Urban fucking rocks.
Homelander shows up and he goes over and sees Stormfront.
Still drenched in blood from all the guards that he killed.
Oh, and that's the other thing, too, is Stormfront was basically denying, like, those are doctored photos and da-da-da-da-da.
Fake news.
And no, it wasn't. It was you.
Yeah.
We know it's you. People love me. No, not anymore. But see, that's how people are now. They turn on, Stormfront, so Homelander says, Ryan, did you do this? It's okay. Come with me. He puts his hand out, and the kid slowly, I love this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Butcher on one side, Homelander on the other, kind of face each other. Ryan's kind of in the middle, and he slowly walks over and gets behind Butcher. Because when he asks his mom, who is that? She goes, that's my husband.
Yeah.
You know? So he gets behind Butcher, and then even even Homelander's like, you're gonna stand for that kid now? He killed your wife.
No. You're going to die for that kid?
That's right, die for that kid. He killed your wife, and Butcher just goes, I made a promise.
And Homelander just looks at him and like, like literally, okay. Because he knows. He's like, I'm going to kill this man.
Yeah.
Like, he can't stand between me and my son.
No. And then Maeve shows up.
And he says, he's mine.
Yes. And Maeve shows up. And she's got the video from the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you're going to leave Starlight alone. You're going to leave me alone. You're going to leave her girlfriend
Elena,
that broke up with her because of that. Mm-hmm. You're going to leave Butcher alone and the kid. And you're going to do all this, or else I'm going to release this footage. And then no one will love you anymore.
Yeah. And at first he's basically like, go ahead.
Yeah.
You'll be ruined too. And she's like, I don't care. Nobody will love you anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And he can't take that.
No, he can't. You're basically going to leave everybody alone. And yeah, he can't take that at all. None, not whatsoever. And he thinks about it, and he doesn't. And you actually, you can hear hearing people chanting his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he flies off. And, you know, we have the montage scene at the end where Badlands basically like, yeah, don't worry. You guys have all been cleared of all your crimes, even the ones you actually committed. You know, Mother's Milk goes home to his family. You see Kimoko and Frenchie head off together.
Ryan is turned over to Madeline and the CIA.
Yep, Ryan. Well, no, Ryan gives Butcher gives him to her. Huey decides he needs to leave the group, put everything behind him. And Annie's like, oh, okay, well, not that. You.
He's like, I need to stand on my own and stop,
Yeah.
relying on other people. And she's like, all right, then we'll just be friends. And he's like, oh, no.
Not you. I'm going to rely on you a lot.
I'm going to be clingy to you. Yeah. I'm going to be all over you. And she's like, oh, good.
Yeah. Starlight gets cleared of all her issues. And then we find out that they're going to let A-Train back into the Seven, but not the Deep. Sorry, buddy.
Because one, being back in the Seven is a redemption story. Two is just...
Yeah, it's just pathetic. Yeah. 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 So, sorry, not you this time, Deep, but we're working on it. But A-Train, you get to go back in. And then when the Deep gets mad at him, Adana, whatever. Yeah. He's basically like, I did everything you wanted. I signed my bank accounts over to you, you know, blah, blah. And
I married some woman who sucks and she's terrible at blowjobs.
Yeah.
Love that that's where his head was at.
And Adana's basically like, you know what? We don't need your kind around here. You can go. Basically, he exiles him.
Yep.
So the Deep kind of got fucked over at the end. A-Train's back in the Seven as well. We get a beautiful montage of all this. At the same time, we see Homelander jerking off on the top of a building, saying, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want.
If I remember correctly, because I distinctly remember sitting at this table and talking to you about it. Yeah. That was a scene that was supposed to be in the first season.
Yes.
And they had to cut it because they were told that that was too much.
Yes.
And HBO would not allow it. Apparently, Amazon. It made it to the Amazon. Yeah. Apparently, it made it to the second season because holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, at first, you're like, oh, I think that's what he's doing, because it's just from, like, the chest up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can do anything I want. I can do anything I want. And you're like, oh, I think he's jerking off. And then they pull out, giggity, and you get to see, like, the full silhouette of him there and just, like, rubbing.
Naked ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Naked ass right on the corner of that building, right on one of those gargoyles that Batman loves to perch on. And, speaking of.
Oh, Black Noir's in a coma. Dead in a coma, basically.
Yep. Pretty much a vegetable.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with all these characters.
Yeah.
And Huey goes and gets a job working for the Senator Newman, and we find out, the last thing we find out is she's that assassin because she blows up the Scientologist leader's head. The Church of the Collective leader's, his head explodes.
Yep.
We find out that she's the, that she was the assassin, and she is running, basically, head fronting a group that's supposed to help keep the soups in line. Or exploring Compound V more before they release it or whatever.
Right, because now it's been put on indefinite hold.
Yeah, and Madeline is, she's been giving some money to have a group to keep an eye on the soup. She wants Butcher to lead it up, which he will.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked away, but he will, so.
Of course.
And it's already been rooted for season 3.
Yes.
And you sent me that.
Video of Jensen Ackles.
Yes.
Saying it's the original superhero, Soldier Boy, coming at you. And then, like, it cuts to the actor who plays
Homelander. But he's got dark hair, not his blonde hair. Yeah.
And he's like, Soldier Boy, we salute you. And then it cuts back to Jensen Ackles. And he, like, rolls his eyes and goes, oh, walks away.
So that was cool.
Dude, I almost sent you this one tonight because I saw this before I came over here. It was on TikTok. And it was this girl. And the caption was, me after watching Captain America Civil War. And she's sitting there and she's like, why? Why would they do this? The government has no right to intervene and oversee superheroes. They have no right. Superheroes are on the front line. They're trying to do the best thing that they can. They need to be able to help people without government oversight and having some boss there to oversee them and blah, blah, blah. This is ridiculous. Cap is right. Tony's an idiot. And then it switches over and it says, me after watching the first episode of The Boys. Huh. Tony may have had a point. Yes. Yes.
I enjoyed The Boys.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to the third season.
Yeah. Movies?
I think we're at about that point. I only watched two this week.
I managed to get a couple in. We were in the hotel one morning. Our hotel had HBO. And HBO 2.
Yep.
It didn't have any local channels. It was stupid. But one morning, I think it was Wednesday morning, we got up early because Wesley woke us up early. And
children don't do that.
Yeah, they do. And we put the TV on, and a movie was starting, and it was a cartoon. So I was like, oh, let's just watch this. It's a cartoon. Maybe Wesley will like it. We all got sucked in, ended up watching the whole damn thing before. Spies in Disguise.
Oh, is it good?
Yes.
I kind of want to check it out.
Yeah, the Will Smith, Tom Holland.
Yeah. Like,
it,
when I first saw the preview, I was like, ugh. And then I was like, I know I'm going to watch it. I'm probably going to like it.
It's fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's really, really fun. Okay. I was surprised how much I enjoyed
it. It's on my list. I will definitely check it out now.
Yeah. Another older movie that we watched is we had a movie night last night at Kate's cousin's house where we sat outside and they projected on this 100-inch screen. We had a fire going because it was fucking 38 degrees by the time the movie was over. Well, we watched Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, classic.
Classic.
Yeah. Yep. So, watched a couple.
I'll put a spin on you.
I watched two new movies.
Okay.
What did you watch for movies, though?
Mine were both new as well.
Yeah.
And one of them was Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh, you finally watched that.
I did.
And?
It was enjoyable. I watched it with my buddy John, his wife, and their friend Julia. And I believe, I'm pretty sure his wife has never seen the Bill and Ted movies. And I don't know that Julia had, but they seem to get into it. Bill and Ted are a dumb group, but they're enjoyably dumb, you know? They're funny for their stupidity because, I don't know, I liked some of the in-jokes, some of the nods, like Missy. You know how
yes.
how she had been married in the first one, then she was married in the second one, and now she's married to, you know, Bill's brother in the third one. I liked Kid Cudi doing his little, you know, he looks at him and he's like, station, and they're like, station. So there were a lot of good little nods, but it was still enjoyable for people who hadn't seen him before. I had it figured out 10 minutes into the movie. I knew the big twist that would come at the end.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I won't ruin it because, you know, it's still new.
But it was more of a movie like that, I guess, in my opinion, if you hadn't watched the first ones, you might not like this one.
But they did.
So that's good, though. Like, that was my impression when I watched it.
I mean, they definitely were not like, oh, my God, this was so great. But they were like, yeah, that's what I expected it to be. And that was enjoyable for what it was. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I got a month of Shudder free. I sent you that link. And I watched a movie called Scare Me.
So I was looking through my bank account the other day because I was like, oh, I'm trying to move around some finances and get out of one bank and into another bank. So, you know, it's a delicate thing where you're like, okay, I've got to take some monthly stuff and move it over here, but not before. And I'm like, oh, apparently I'm paying for Shudder.
Oh, fuck.
Haven't been watching it. You know, I probably signed up for a free month like a year and a half ago. So I've been paying for it all this time. I'm like, well, I can't get that back. But hey, Mike said that he watched that movie Scare Me. I better check it out. So I did.
Oh, what'd you think?
It wasn't bad.
I liked it. It stars Aya Cash. It was written and directed by Josh Rubin,
who also stars Aya Cash.
Yeah. You notice she kind of plays the same character in everything?
Yes.
Yeah, which is great.
Yes, she does it well.
Basically, you have this guy named Fred.
Which is really funny, by the way, because after her Stormfront character, if you see her on Instagram, she is all vote blue, go Biden, you know, Black Lives Matter. But then you see her as Stormfront, so acting. Acting.
But Josh Rubin's a struggling actor, writer, director. He rents a mountain cabin so he can try to owned by Bettina, who's another aspiring writer, which comes into play at the end of the movie. But basically, he goes to this cabin to write a movie. He's going to work on his book.
And steal the idea of the woman who is driving him up there in the first place.
Right, yeah.
Like, stole that right off from under. She's like, oh, I can't tell you about it, but here it is. And then the first thing that he tells her is, oh, yeah, I'm thinking of this idea for this.
Yeah.
Like, what a dick.
Basically.
And then gets on her case for stealing ideas later.
Well, and then we meet Fanny, who's played by Aya Cash, and they meet him when they're out for
like,
a
who's
run.
Named Fanny anymore?
And she's a very successful author who wrote this book named Venus, which was like an acclaimed horror novel, on and on and on. And they lose power, and she shows up at his cabin, and basically he's like, hey, we don't have power, let's hang out together, and let's tell each other stories and scare each other. And it's done in a unique way, because it's not really done in a way with which they tell a story, but then it fades to the actual story itself, and you're watching actors act out the story they're telling.
That's kind of cool.
It's done in a way with which they're telling the story to each other, and maybe and they're trying to scare each other. And there is some, like, imagination used or theatrics.
Like the one point where he's doing the werewolf thing and he puts his hand up and there's actually like a werewolf
hand. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then they're telling the story together and kind of acting it out as they go. So it was really unique in that. It's more of a comedy horror. Of course, there's a twist at the end. Of course, why wouldn't there be? But
it wasn't bad.
There you go.
It was definitely nothing that I was like, I can't wait to watch this again. I'm glad to have seen it.
But exactly. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Would I rewatch this? Probably not. Maybe someday. I don't know. I wouldn't buy it. It's not like when I watched Summer of 84 and I was like, I'm buying this movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm glad I watched this. I really enjoy Aya Cash.
Yes.
The other movie I watched was another on Shudder.
Okay.
It's called The Mortuary Collection. It's another anthology movie.
I saw that on there and thought, Mike's going to watch that.
I did. Yeah, Clancy Brown.
Love him.
Plays the mortuary director, sold. If you will.
Sold.
And he...
By the way, just to go back for a second, yeah. Scare me. Probably the best part of that was when they were both doing the Crypt Keeper impressions.
Yes, his was so good.
It was so good.
Which actually, I've been, you know what? I meant to look up to see if he'd ever actually done the voice of the Crypt Keeper.
You said mortuary director, and it immediately made me think of the Crypt Keeper.
Yes. So basically, this is an anthology horror film. It's got four segments, and then it's got like some framing, as they call it, for, like where, or wraparounds, however you want to do it, where it's the mortuary director does a funeral. And then for a young child. And then afterwards, this woman shows up and he thinks that he's there for the departed, but she's there for the help wanted sign.
Right.
And
because, you know.
Yeah. It's in a small island town called Raven's End in the 1980s. And she's basically like, hey, tell me a story. You know? So he tells her kind of a lame ass story. And then she's like, oh, come on, you got to come up better than that. So it's him telling a story, but then we fade to actors acting out the story that he's telling. So he's not narrating it. You're just watching it.
Okay.
The first one's kind of cheesy as shit, but good. It's right out of like Creepshow type of thing.
Oh, nice.
Excuse me. The original movie.
Well, I was going to say the original.
The second one, again, more of like a weird Creepshow story. I don't want to give it away because if you still have Shudder, I think you should go watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I said, it looked it's interesting enough, and then you say Clancy Brown, I'm like,
yeah, it's kind of a fun. And then so, but it's good. You should watch it.
Okay.
You know, if you have time this week, throw it on while you're doing other stuff. It's definitely something you can kind of watch in the background, if you will. Segment three isn't as good. It's about this guy dealing with his comatose wife, but it's in the 70s and has an unexpected ending.
Okay.
And then segment four is called The Babysitter Murders.
Okay.
Which is the original title of the movie Halloween, by the way. Yeah. And it's good. I like The Babysitter's Murder story the best.
Thanks.
Yeah. But no, it's really good. It's really good. I enjoyed the film. They thought they did a good job with it. So...
Cool. Yeah. Oh,
apparently, it's got 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Was that all the movies?
That was.
Okay.
Oh, no. I watched one other movie. It was a fan film.
Oh.
Never Hike Alone in the Woods.
Have you talked about this one before?
I have. I talked about Never Hike Alone, which was the Friday the 13th fan film with Jason Voorhees, you know, attacking this guy who went for a hike in the woods by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Never Hike Alone in the Woods. That was Never Hike in the Woods. This is Never Hike Alone in the Woods, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Womp Stomp Films on YouTube. It's free on YouTube to watch. It was premiered Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, October 13th. And I watched it on the YouTube premiere. It's about 30 minutes long. I didn't like it as much as the second feature. I mean, as the first one, I mean. But it's good. You know, it gives you a little Jason Voorhees fix. And it's in the winter.
Okay.
So Never Hike Alone in the Snow is what it's called. There we go.
Okay.
So it's in the winter. So it gives you a little bit of Jason Voorhees in the winter, which is the last Friday the 13th movie they were supposed to be made. It was supposed to take place in the winter, but then all the rights battles tied it up, and then COVID's extended it and everything. So
gotcha.
But yeah. You got any more movies? No?
Negative, sir.
All right. News and trailers?
Yeah. Not a lot of trailers this week.
No.
I sent you one, The Liberator.
Looks great, except I don't like that the animation. That's weird.
It basically looks like they filmed a movie and then ran the film through one of those filters on Instagram that like makes you into a cartoon.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like.
And I'm not sure why they would do that.
I cannot figure that one out either.
I also sent you one just because, you know, it's from when we grew up, but Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, I didn't like his voice so much.
No.
Because it definitely didn't sound like Darkwing Duck, but no, I mean, no. It was cool.
And seeing the four villains that come out.
Yes.
No Negaduck.
Mm.
But, no. You know, there was Quackerjack and, yeah. So, I'm not going to watch it, but it was still cool to see.
Yes.
It's just like the new DuckTales. Like, I champion it. I'm happy for it. I don't watch it.
Right.
And then you sent me an interesting one tonight that I don't think about.
Well, the one I linked to on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, it was a teaser, like a 30-second, 20-second, 10, 15-second teaser for Die Hard's Back.
And it was set by Rumor Willis.
Yeah.
Saying, Die Hard is back.
Yeah.
More to come.
And you see Bruce Willis, like...
looking like Bruce Willis and, walking down a street.
Yeah, but but they put today's date on it for some reason.
It's like nighttime, and he stops because he hears something behind him, and he turns around, and he starts taking his jacket off, and there's like, I guess like police lights flashing in the background. I don't know. I didn't know what it was, and they didn't really tell us what it was. So
yeah, I didn't like. Someone says, "Better not be a battery commercial." Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah. Like, as one story ends, a new one begins. The date's 10-18-20. I'm trying to see if there's anything here. Because I just, like, something just popped up like it was new.
Oh.
Nah, it's just all fucking speculation.
All right. So,
we'll see what happens with it. I sent you a news thing the other day, and they have since then released a teaser trailer, but they're bringing Dexter back to Showtime.
Yeah.
For a limited series, Michael C. Hall's coming back to play Dexter. Supposed to start filming sometime next year.
So far, the best part of this is the number of times that I can go on my news feed and see somebody has posted the meme of, surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Every time I turn around, I see that, and I saw one guy who actually did a parody video of it, and it was, you know, like, surprise, mother cluckers, and surprise... fries and truckers and stuff like that.
I mean, I know a lot of people were upset with the ending, with him sitting down. He's a truck driver up in the woods or whatever, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. You had some other news you shared.
Yeah, I got a few different things. Disney is reorganizing to focus more on streaming. They've made the announcement that they're reorganizing their efforts in film and video to really focus on the streaming market. They see the writing on the wall right now, is what it is. I didn't get the impression that they're going to be completely out of, you know, theatrical type stuff.
Right.
But, you know, with the stuff they've had to push back, and then, like I said, they did a test run with Mulan.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it went well enough that they're like, because you saw that Soul is going to be exclusively on Disney Plus, no extra fee, and it's coming out Christmas Day.
Yes.
So, you know, I think the next thing you'll see is them tempting around with Black Widow.
Probably.
Oh, by the way. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Sony has officially denied that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are coming back.
Yeah, I'd seen that news as well, that someone released a rumor saying that they have officially signed, and then Sony did officially deny it. However, I feel like this is one of those they're trying to put the horse back in the barn after it got out.
Yeah, yeah, it's so, entirely possible.
We shall see.
I had sent you one link. We got casting for Shalita Grant will play Sherry, a momfluencer. I already fucking hate her.
I do too.
Who appears down to earth but is actually a mean girl who only pretends to welcome love into her social circle for the next season of You.
Sure.
And Travis Van Winkle will play the wealthy Carrie who invites Joe into his inner circle. I was just excited because they're moving forward on You Season 3.
Yes.
I fucking love that show.
It's a great show.
Couple other things that I had. AMC Theaters, who, as you recall from last week, Regal is shutting down again.
Yep.
AMC said, nope, we're staying open. Well, they've also reported that they expect to be out of cash by early 2021. Now, that does not mean out of business, but that means out of cash assets. So, I don't know what they're planning. I don't know if they've got something else going.
I know we've talked about this. The overhead to run a theater is way more expensive than a drive-in. But the drive-ins are doing so successful with movies. Mm-hmm. But again, you're sitting in your own vehicle. I don't know. I guess I haven't been tempted to go to the theater at all since they reopened.
I haven't either.
Even though they are showing classic films, I'm still just going, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So
they're moving forward with the Furiosa prequel movie.
I'm doing
you know, for Mad Max.
Yeah, well, I know. I didn't care for the new Mad Max film.
Fair enough.
Because he's the main character, but he's a pussy through the whole fucking movie.
Exactly. Well, that's why the Furiosa movie is coming out, because most people thought she was the real star.
Yeah, because she was.
Yeah. So the prequel movie is going to focus on her in the before times.
Sure.
And Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be playing her. The one from Split. And Yes. Emma. And, I like her. I think she's a great actress.
No, I think she's great as well. I just...
You sent me one about Coming to America.
Yeah, Coming to America is
which
coming...
Which is coming, the number two, yeah. America.
Yes. Coming to America is coming direct to Amazon.
Amazon Prime Video, yeah. December 18th.
Yep, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yes! We'll be watching that.
Hell yeah, we will be.
This was interesting. I reported a while back that Grease is getting a prequel series.
Yeah.
Focusing on the Pink Ladies in the early days.
Yes.
Before Danny and Sandy and everything. It's now not going to be at HBO Max. It's coming instead to Paramount Plus.
Okay.
So, by the way, speaking of which, did you know that Discovery Season 3 is now out?
The whole thing or just they're doing week by week?
I think they're doing week by week.
Yes, but I did know it started. Yes. I did know it started. I also got renewed for Season 4.
Yep.
They also are putting Discovery Season 1 on CBS over the air with TVMA rating late at night.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It does. I think that's all the news that I got.
Okay.
That's all the everything that I got.
Same here. All right.
Cool. I think that's a podcast.
I think that is a podcast. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And thanks. We'll talk to you later.